It's not a brief story, but it goes back to 1953 when a CIA-involved investigation was held. As a result of the extremely heavy wave of sightings in 1952, the CIA and Air Force became so concerned over the sheer number of reports that were tying up Air American intelligence channels that they wanted to get this signal out of the system, the CIA asked the Air Force for a debunking policy. The literal wording was to debunk the flying saucers to decrease public interest in the UFOs. Regulations were promulgated very shortly that made it a crime, punishable with, I think it's $10,000 fine, and or 10 years in prison to release any information at airbase level on UFOs. And as a result of that, in a sequence of steady downgrading, the whole problem has been essentially lost from scientific sight in the U.S., and nothing resembling any scientific investigation has been going on in the past 15 years.
Has this been typical of the attitude of most world governments?
As nearly as I can tell, yes. There seems to be quite surprising similarity between the official Russian, British, Australian, Canadian, American, French, Italian pronouncements. They all seem to take the view that there's nothing to it, that it's a lot of nonsense, that people see things, and that it is not a real scientific problem at all, and I most heartily disagree with that. We have in the UFO problem a very strange situation. Here for 20 years plus, essentially similar phenomena have been reported all over the world, large numbers in the U.S., officialdom ignoring them, air forces ignoring them, and yet apparently a steady increase in the numbers of reliable reports from people in all walks of life seeing these objects that are not products of our technology, they're not meteorological astronomical phenomena, hovering at low altitude, increasing numbers in urban areas, and collectively we don't know what's going on. That's an extremely unwise situation, no matter how you view it. We do not know what is involved in this problem. There are no strong indications of anything resembling hostility. I see some faint indications of hazard and danger, but in general, to have this possibility that the world is under something resembling reconnaissance, possibly from some extraterrestrial source, and to go on about our petty ways collectively doesn't seem to me to be a wise situation. So I'm trying to get scientists and governmental agencies to take a look at this at a highly accelerated pace.
Greetings, my loves. I am so excited to share this episode with you. Today's guest is Jeremy Corbell, and that clip you just heard is from his Instagram. It's physicist James Edward McDonald, and Jeremy writes that what he's saying here back in the 1960s is prophetic and more relevant now than ever. Just listen to what he says when he talks about our government looking into the UFO mystery and the lack of communication with the American people. There is no sensible alternative to the utterly shocking hypothesis that UFOs are extraterrestrial probes. Look, I don't know what UFOs are. After having a chat with Jeremy, I'm going to lean in the direction of extraterrestrial probes. But right now, we don't know. But one thing we do know is suddenly people who you would never dream of talking about things like UFOs are going public about it, including President Barack Obama. Listen to this.
The truth is that when I came into office, I asked, right? I was like, all right, you know, is there the lab somewhere where we're keeping the alien specimens in spaceship? They did a little bit of research, and the answer was no. But what is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. Their trajectory, they did not have an easily explainable pattern.
That's from the James Corden Show, and obviously you can watch the full clip on YouTube. And thank you, Reggie Watts, James Corden, for asking Obama that question. But it's not just Obama. All of a sudden, every major news network has been doing stories on these things. And a lot of the time, these stories involve Jeremy Corbell.
Well, it's on, huh? As we await for a new government report from the U.S. Senate on these mysterious sightings, Jeremy Corbell is an investigative filmmaker.
The UFO footage was leaked to a filmmaker called Jeremy Corbell.
So, Jeremy, help give a little context to this. Why is it actually a pretty big deal that the government and the Department of Defense seemingly can't explain what these objects are but are finally willing to talk about them?
I don't think I've ever been more proud of a friend. And I've never felt so cool than when I started getting texts from Jeremy showing me some of the videos that ended up on the news. I just naturally assumed, oh, he's probably, I don't know, in the CIA or something. How else would he have this footage? And I know a lot of my conspiracy friends have speculated or have had other sorts of speculation regarding what this footage might be. Some people think it's a distraction. Some people think it's something called Project Bluebeam, some kind of psyops or something like that. And late at night when I'm laying in bed because I thought it'd be smart to eat a slice of peanut butter, chocolate cake, and drink two of these incredible Moscow mules at a restaurant that I've grown to love only because of the Moscow mules, which are actually mixed with apples and cinnamon. Yeah, sometimes my mind would veer in the cynical, skeptical direction of thinking, well, these fucking things are probably just a hoax, a psyops, you know, but surely I can't be so lucky that I would incarnate during a time period in human history where we would actually make contact with visitors from other worlds or places or dimensions. Surely it couldn't be that. And you know what? Just because of my general cynicism or skepticism, I'm prepared to be disappointed. Anyway, the point is, during this conversation with Jeremy, I tried to ask him a few of the questions that I saw popping up on in some message boards by skeptics and cynics, and I was overjoyed by his response. He's a brilliant person who I am proud to call my friend. We're going to jump right into this conversation with Jeremy Corbell, but first, this. I want to thank Candid for supporting this episode of the DTFH. Are you unhappy with your smile? You don't have to be. Thousands of people have used Candid, the clear, comfortable, removable, and practically invisible aligners to help straighten their teeth. And now they love their smile. Just like Justin from Atlanta, who writes, "When I was younger, I used to have a gap in the front and on the side. I noticed that people would always look at my mouth first, so I was looking for a fix. Candid ended up being the perfect company for me. You can't stop me from smiling now. There's no comparison." And Candid is here to help straighten your teeth so you can fall in love with your smile too. Your treatment is prescribed and closely monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. You'll have the same quality of care you'd get from an in-office orthodontist from the comfort and convenience of your own home. And while other companies use general dentists, Candid only works with orthodontists. With Candid, the same orthodontist who created your plan is with you from start to finish, so you never have to wonder how you're doing. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then, and it costs thousands less than traditional braces. Become your best you. Start straightening your teeth today. Right now, you can save $75 on Candid Starter Kit. Go to candidco.com/Duncan and use code Duncan. That's candidco.com/Duncan, code Duncan. Take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75 on your starter kit. candidco.com/Duncan, code Duncan. Thank you, Candid. My dear loves, would you like commercial-free episodes of the DTFH? Then go no further than patreon.com/DTFH and subscribe. You're going to get commercial-free episodes along with a globs and gallons of extra content. We just recorded a live DTFH with Robert Ryan, talked about these amazing caves in the Ukraine. That happened during our weekly family gathering on Patreon. The point is, I'd love for you to subscribe. Head over to patreon.com/DTFH. All right, pals, today's guest is a documentary filmmaker. You should subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's Jeremy Corbell on YouTube, his Instagram, Jeremy Corbell. All the links you need to find him will be at DuncanTrussell.com. But now, everybody, stretch out your arms and allow your celestial cosmic soul rays to plug into the incredible mycelial network of metaphysical energy that connects all of us so that today's guest can feel your love pumping into his heart. Welcome to the DTFH, Jeremy Corbell. Help me with this. Can you kind of map out what happened that suddenly you are on, like, I'm watching Fox, you're on Tucker Carlson, you're on CNN, you're on everything, and the reason you're on these shows is because it seems like a variety of people have entrusted you with footage that has then been confirmed by the Pentagon. So as I'm we text all the time, but as I'm watching, I am thinking naturally, like, is he in the CIA? Is he some kind of is he loosely associated with some government agency that has decided it's time to start dispensing this information to the world? And I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, why, you know, and I know in an interview with Russell Brandy, he asked you this question. I think you've been asked this question a few times, but just for folks who maybe haven't watched all your stuff, I want to address that question first, which is, why are you in some way loosely associated with some kind of federal agencies? And again, I want to really reiterate, I don't think that's a bad thing. NASA's a fucking federal agency. But if you're not, why have you become one of the main conduits through which this potentially culture-shifting video is coming through?
Okay, so have patience with me. I don't have a lot of sleep, but this is such an important starting and jump off point. And I thank you for asking it, because I really think if we mystify things, then we don't understand their power. We can dismiss them, right? Mm. You can dehumanize the messenger and you can dismiss the message. And that's the last thing I want.
Right.
Total, complete transparency with this is kind of what's important. I am sleep deprived. As you said, I've been on all these shows. This was a tactical, planned thing to get this message out now. I've been sitting on stuff for a long time, and I still am, but I'm going to get it out. But have patience with me, because my brain, it's just, man, you told me, like, when you were going through something like this, it's like you have to learn to manage this moment. So that's what I'm trying to do. So have patience with me, and let me just explain. And hopefully I explain it further or properly. Okay,
great.
So straight up, no. I have never signed an NDA. I have never been employed by any military or federal agency. I am under zero restrictions. I not only do I not get a paycheck from anybody, I guard myself from more attempts to manipulate or guide and control my narrative,
right?
Then people understand, like, big time. I do, like, big time. Right. I won't report on stuff for years until I've vetted, confirmed, make sure I'm not being used as an instrument, as a marionette for anybody. I am 100% what you see is what you get, completely independent, being completely honest to the best of my knowledge at any given time.
Yes.
Right? So to just smash that, I do not work for the CIA. I've never worked for any federal agency. I've never participated. I keep a degree of separation
right.
from anybody that comes to me. So with that said, I'm going to demystify everything for you. So why you're seeing this man is because I have become a touchstone for people that don't have an outlet through normal channels in the military to convey something that has been world shaking, altering things that, by the way, like maybe they shouldn't have had a burner phone inside of a secret Iraqi unacknowledged military base that is completely unacknowledged by the world governments, yet they knew this was big, yet they right. had a burner phone, yet they filmed shit, you know, so it's like, it's no secret that the stuff that I'm putting out is contained within classified briefings. I don't have clearance. People that film screens inside of SCIFs, I mean, it's not one deep throat person.
Right.
This is 10 years of my work.
Right.
This is people trusting me not to burn them to the point where they would go to jail, but they shouldn't be going to jail.
Right.
You know, the thing is I'm not leaking anything. I'm obtaining and releasing it. Yes, sure, people leak stuff to me. But the reason that's happening is because the methodology of reporting, the ridicule factor, who do you tell?
Right.
People are so frustrated. So they take extreme measures to get me information. And it's a dance that I play. People think it's so easy. I wave a magic wand. Man, how you can share secrets with the world is you need to keep more than you can share. That's just a fact of the matter. So from Commander David Fravor, who chased a UFO for the United States military, and I kept his secret for like 5 years, more than that, prior to him, the world knowing about it. And I wow. warned him. I warned him this was going to come out not through my hand, right?
Yeah.
But from military people, I've only been assisted. I've never been resisted. It's like no one's ever saying federal agencies have come to my house, but it's never like stop. It's like, why are my videos being confirmed by the Pentagon in record breaking time? It's because I do, with my mentor in journalism, George Knapp, we do good work. We inform to make sure there is no classified information that is going to hurt the American public or our defense system. So I'm able to provide stuff and say, and not always before, because some of it I know, but I'm like, look, I'm putting this out. Due respect. I obtain these legally. There's nothing classified about it that I know. Tell me otherwise. But
right.
I'm putting this out. So that's how they can confirm it. Now, I ran into two problems. One is that there was a leak at the Pentagon, and I was forced to put out some radar footage faster than I wanted to, because I'm just one guy. I get so fucking tired, man. I can't like do interviews all day long. I mean, I have normal jobs, man. I manage right. apartments and stuff. Like, that's my right. jobs, right?
Yeah.
Movies is cool. It's like extra. But like, I was forced to put stuff out with George Knapp a little faster. So I'm really kind of cautious. Like, I'm putting something out. But like, so the last thing I just want to say is the weird thing, it's hard to accept, but it's true. Some of these things, as they go up the chain of command, I've actually had more information than the Pentagon.
What? I bow in the direction of whatever beautiful alchemical laboratory today's sponsor, Feel CBD, is produced within. CBD, it's not about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel, like stress, anxiety, pain. I love CBD. It helps me sleep. It's amazing. And it also can help with nervousness. It can also help to relieve pain, and it doesn't have any harmful side effects. You know, I don't really care about, if you're someone who has insomnia, you probably get to the point where you're like, I don't care about the side effects. I don't care if I wake up in the morning and a fucking crab climbs out of my asshole if I got a good night's sleep. But feels, you don't have to worry about that crab, because there's no side effects from CBD. Feels is a premium CBD that will help keep your head clear and feel your best. It's hassle-free, delivered directly to your door. CBD naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness, and there's no hangover or addiction. I've tried every freaking sleeping medication, from stuff you got to get prescribed to over-the-counter shit, and like, in general, my experience has been you wake up all groggy. You feel like someone tried to zombify you, like somebody blew that white doom dust in your face and turned you into a zombie slave and marched you around all night and made you do God knows what, but you can't remember. Feels doesn't do that. You just place a few drops under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding your right dose is important. Everyone's dose is different. And Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so that you find your perfect dose. The Feels customer service team is dedicated to making sure you get the best use of your CBD. Joining the Feels monthly membership makes your self-care easy. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. And might I quickly just add, and this is my subjective experience, it's not written on the sheet, Feels tastes good. Other CBDs, it tastes like a malarial elf took a diseased shit of chewed up flowers and glitter, whatever elves eat, all over your tongue. Feels, it's like you're consuming some kind of sci-fi Frank Herbert level nectar of the gods. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/Duncan, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's FEALS.com/Duncan to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/Duncan. Thanks, Feels.
I've actually had more information than the Pentagon.
What?
Right, because think about it. You've got individuals that come to me with full sets of data. Like, I don't know what to do. Put it up through the chain of command.
I get it.
It got completely covered and buried. I'm frustrated. I'll be in trouble for reporting this even.
Right.
What do we do? So I was able to provide the Pentagon with George Knapp just huge sets of visual data that they didn't have, which are now included in these UAP investigations.
Cool.
So it's so backwards. And they were so like pissed at first because it was like their system broke down. This should have never gone outside of school. This should have been within their systems. But because that's not there, that's not in place, I'm now kind of trying to encourage that they do better reporting systems. And obviously you're seeing it. So why now? Why now? I have footage. It's going to drive people crazy, but I have footage that is as definitive as it gets. And I'm looking to try to see the legality of some of it. I want to make sure that sources, multiple, many, every day, hundreds of emails come in, that nobody gets hurt, that there's a process where someone can say, I captured something, probably wasn't a smart idea the way I did it, but I want to have impunity. You need this data. So I'm trying to work on finding that methodology before they have a system in place where I can make sure people have total impunity to like any retribution because of it. I have such great imagery that I'm being very careful of. I'm being very careful to educate the public along the way that sources don't get burned, because one source gets burned and I'm done.
It's done.
I'm done. I'm wrong about one thing, I'm done.
Right.
So I'm just so methodical.
Because people in the UFO community, some people, I mean, I follow it closely, more closely now because of your work. People in the UFO community, some people get mad. They look at every, and you should, I get it. They look at every inch of the footage, the plunge video of the thing dropping in. I watched some analysis. I'm sorry, I can't remember the ufologist's name, but he was pointing out the time code was broken, and like, you know, I think he was like,
it's not broken, that's incorrect, but yeah.
Oh, so that was incorrect. I did, you know, I know you. I think like what ends up happening is you know, just what you're saying, people who don't know you or don't understand you, like,
they don't,
like,
know
we're
me,
friends, they don't,
so why should they trust me,
right? And so there's always going to be that sense, but I think one thing that I'd love to hear you like emphasize that maybe people don't understand is that if your job is flying fighter jets for the Navy, that's what you like to do. And to get that fucking job, it's not like you just like, it's not like going to the DMV. Like if they're letting you sit in those insane machines and fly them, then you're being honored and you're given this incredible responsibility, and it must be the most insane feeling in the world to do that. And so the last thing you want to have to deal with is seeing a fucking UFO. Because now, and I can't remember, again, I'm sorry, I wish I'd written their names down. I can't remember her name, but she was saying, I was thinking about not reporting it.
Alex Dietrich.
She's like, I didn't want to say anything about it because she didn't want to lose her job. Because, you know, they hold them to such rigorous standards. Like anything that seems like their cognition slipping. Go ahead. Sorry.
In 2004, you could lose your wings if they think you're not wrapped so tight.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of them wish other people had been in the planes. Commander Fravor at this point, Dietrich, even, you know, Commander Underwood, who filmed the Tic Tac UFO. And you're right, Duncan, like, now think about this, dude. How hard is it for some tattooed, bearded UFO maniac to talk with people like this? Why are they going to pick up? Why are they going to tell me their secrets? Why are they going to risk everything for what? For what I want? So it's always been this weird uphill battle. I remember this time I was sitting in the Annapolis Naval Academy, which is like the most prestigious, you know, how did I even get in? I know somebody there who's high up who like allowed me in because of my passion to sit in on aerospace classes, to talk about UFOs. It was crazy, man. So I'm just saying people take huge risks in talking to me and emailing me, active deployment people. And also I really thank the people that trust me. I've never broken trust. I will never. And I really you have to understand that leap of faith people take in talking with me, man. But the thing is their trust is well placed. So first of all, did I answer your first question?
Yes, thank you. Perfectly. Yeah. I wouldn't care if you did. I think other people out there have like a deeper, I used to have the government paranoia thing because I was chomping acid all the time, and I just decided it was like black and white. You know, like if you're in the government, you're naturally evil. Then I was talking to Richard Doblin, Rick Doblin, who runs MAPS, and he was like explaining to me, and now other of my friends who are helping facilitate getting MDMA prescribable, they've told me like, no, the people in the government, there's a lot of like actual really good people who are like us, who got in there because they want the world to be better. It's not all like people who are like, you know, evil, monstrous, trying to disrupt other countries, believe it or not. And if it were, it'd be a lot easier, I guess. That's maybe even more confusing. So I would like, but yeah, I get that. I think what you're saying makes way more sense, actually, which is just to summarize, there isn't right there, it's getting there, but right now there isn't a built-in way for people who encounter things like UFOs to report them or without potentially wrecking their career. And
it's so much broader than that too, in that the reason why we're getting all of this kind of information that's undeniable, like, is because look, I released for the first time in modern history, I've got radar data that corroborates FLIR, forward-looking infrared, which is thermal. I'm going to be dropping another form of data that also corroborates that whole series. The moment that the report drops, I'm going to be releasing something else. It's not my favorite piece of data visually, but it corroborates the whole thing. What you're talking about with the government, like, look, the government's a big thing.
Massive.
Anybody can be in the government. Like, it's normal people with the same interests, the same dreams, aspirations, hopes. But people understand there's a process for security.
Right.
You don't talk out of school typically, but as we know with government, when government impedes you from something so huge as these mind-shaking, faith-altering things that you see, some things are bigger than government, and government is supposed to be representative government in the United States. If we want to know, we pay for it, we should know. You're flying that plane because of your dollars and my dollars that we pay taxes. Right. So they feel a sense of responsibility, but no one wants to crack the egg. No one wants to be the kook. No one wants to not be able to get employment after because they were stripped of the security clearances. You don't talk out of school typically, right?
Right.
So just to do one more piece to this puzzle. Now, I will tell you, I have been approached, you know, by agencies that would love to control to some degree the narrative, right? Which I understand. It's like damage control because they've been lying, you know, for 70 plus years about this. I get that. That is not seductive to me. I have always said, hey, look, it's really good that people are coming forward, that you want to engage the narrative, but you can't control it in the way you're thinking. So I just want to be fully straight up honest with you. There have been, people have approached me, you know, from agencies just asking, like, there's an investigation into my sources. There's all sorts of stuff, right? Yeah. And also there are foreign countries. And to be transparent.
Oh, shit. I never thought of that. Whoa.
Yeah. So check this out. I'm not going to name what it was, but imagine this. Like, you get, you know, 50 on-camera interview requests a day, and you're kind of sorting through trying to say, you know, which ones are going to have the most impact so I can do 5 and not 50.
Right.
So then you're like, oh, that's another country. That would be good. It's a global thing. Then you do like it was an interrogation for like an hour. And then I realized that the media in that country is all state run. It never aired. Their first question is, who are your sources?
Wow.
So it's like I am dealing with that too.
Oh,
you know, I'm dealing with
such a mind fuck, man.
It's a total mind fuck. A total mind fuck. You know, so it's like, and you know, people on our side, if you're going to say sides, you know, they'd be disappointed if I revealed anything that I do know accidentally to an adversarial nation. So I have to walk this thin line of being, I'm a journalist,
right?
Whatever I am, I don't know. I don't know what I am. I'm a filmmaker, you know. But
you seem,
like,
you're a journalist. You do really good work.
I'm breaking stories, right? So I found my way into this place where I need to like learn how to operate in this field, this quagmire, this briar patch of international high level interest, where there's many different pieces on the chessboard with different agendas. To stay true to myself, to stay true to the audience, and to always maintain the integrity of the work I'm doing. And if you know me, Duncan, right, you know me, you come over to my house, I'll show you everything, or the longer videos, I'll show you everything. It's not what I can put out, but as a friend, you know me, like I'm not editing anything, I'm not changing anything. I'm just trying to be responsible with the pressures on me to make sure that the American public and global public get this information in a way that's useful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I get it, man. And I, like, you know, it's the reality is we live in the United States, and I'm sorry, but if I have to choose who has this technology, it's us. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to be like us and them thing, but if I'm picking, so I get like, and I do understand to some degree why they, I can think of every single reason to not tell the planet that you know anything about this. I could see a million reasons to do the whole cannot confirm or deny, because on one side, you're either admitting like we've been lying to you all this time and maybe the reasons are good, but we've been lying to you. And then that's going to make people be like, what the fuck can we trust you about? But then on the other side, it's almost worse when you say, we have no idea what these fucking things are.
So that's the conundrum.
Yeah. Summer is here, friends, and sometimes my hairy ass sleeps like a feverish pig in some equatorial hell swamp. I sweat. I wake up hot and sweaty and oozy and sticky, but not anymore. Thanks to the new bedding brand I just discovered, My Sheets Rock. Their sheets keep you cool so you'll sleep better than ever. My Sheets Rock created the regulator sheets, which are designed specifically to keep hot sleepers cool and cold sleepers comfortable. They regulate temperature, wick moisture, stay breathable, and are so soft you'll sleep comfortably every night. That's because these sheets are made from best-in-class bamboo rayon, the holy grail of sheeting. This miracle material transfers body heat 2 times more effectively than regular sheets and reduces humidity by 50%, so you can experience your best night's sleep yet. Have you ever wondered what it might be like to wrap yourself in the magical cloak of a Tolkien elf? Then order some of these sheets. Do you squirt sweat out of your pulsating pores during those hot summer nights? Then these sheets are going to help you. And if you don't believe me, their 5-star customer reviews speak for themselves. Plus, they offer a 90-day risk-free trial and free shipping and returns. You just send them back if you don't like them. Check out My Sheets Rock at mysheetsrock.com/Duncan and enter our code Duncan for 10% off and free shipping. That's mysheetsrock.com/Duncan, code Duncan. Try out these mystical sheets. You won't be sorry. Thank you, My Sheets Rock.
That you, what you just said is the conundrum. If I'm running the military, right, and I'm like, wow, there are unknown vehicles of unknown origin that are highly, highly advanced technologically, that can outpace, outmaneuver, and outperform any of our greatest warships, fighter planes, our greatest technology. They can shut down our nukes. They're filmed because of FLIR and the nature of forward-looking infrared and how good it's getting and prolific it's becoming through our society. We're seeing these more and more, or there's an increase in frequency. We're like, holy shit. Like, let's exploit the technology. Let's make sure that it's not a foreign nation. Let's figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Can we have a technological advantage, a warfare advantage, so we can protect our populations? That's what was going on since, you know, the moment we had aviation. Like, we've been trying to figure this out. So I understand that the concept of secrecy for technology and national defense. However, our government works for us. This is representative government. There's one thing to say, we're working on something for the national good. There's another thing to say, we've been actively denying, dismissing, ridiculing, lying, compartmentalizing, storehousing, and obfuscating the truth about a much larger existential issue for humankind because we know it's right and you just sit back and don't ask questions.
Wow.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. And now we have collectively, as a public, an American and global public, we have forced the issue. And that's why you're seeing, and that's why George Knapp and I are coming forward with this stuff now, is to really, I'm only putting out videos that I know the Pentagon will confirm. And I'm doing it to influence policy, to influence the narrative, and to get some semblance of UFO transparency. It's so obvious. And now people don't want to seem dumb. They don't want to seem out of the loop. They don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
Right.
There's been a sea change. So now people are like, it's like their own idea. I'm going to fight for you. It's going to be on the next national ticket, the UFO topic. They're going to tell us in the report, these are not our black projects. Fucking duh. I mean, fucking duh. This stuff has been around before modern aviation.
Right.
So with that said, I understand secrecy to a degree. We are past that. The basics now need to be confirmed to the American public by the American government. And if they don't do it, I am going to force the issue with George Knapp. We are, and others too. We're going to force the issue. So they're going to do it come hell or high water.
Yeah. That is crazy. That is so cool, man. You know, here's my paranoid assumption with it. Because, you know, when you are looking at all this stuff and well, what I try to do is like just go to what is 100% verifiable. 100% verifiable. We've got Barack Obama telling Reggie Watts that, there are these things out there. We've got like all of these, like, you know, George W. Bush recently. You know, we have
They showed him my footage and asked him what he thought of it. That was so surreal for me. I'm sitting there watching these. They're looking at the green pyramid. I'm like, whoa.
That must have been so bizarre, man. But what I'm assuming is not, they're doing, like, suddenly there's, like, from all these various angles, there is what appears to be a very light confirmation that at the very least there is something that we don't understand. My assumption is that is coming from the government because they have some reason for doing that. It isn't that the reason they're doing that is they're trying to play catch up because they already know the dam's breaking and this information is coming out no matter what. And they don't want to seem like they're trying to do as much damage control as they possibly can because they already know no matter what, a lot of people are going to, you know, they're going to confront them saying, look, it wasn't just that you hid this information, like you ruined my life. Like a lot of people's lives have been intentionally ruined.
Yeah.
Because of encounters with these things and the subsequent stigma,
the implications, you know, that they have in their own minds, you know. But yeah, but what you said, let's nail in on this. The government is playing catch up with certain people because here's the deal. It is so compartmentalized that there's two sides to the coin of intelligence, like what you're allowed to know within a military environment. So one is, do you have clearance, mm-hmm. right? Do you have the right clearance? And the other is, do you have a need to know? Now, who decides that? We know many presidents have tried to get to the bottom of the UFO issue and tried to expose it to the public.
Yeah.
One very famous one is, you know, President Bill Clinton, where he was working with Lawrence Rockefeller and they were trying to force the issue. President Clinton asked for the information. Now, you think president will get a briefing on anything? Not true. I know some of the people that do the briefings on this. I know which some presidents didn't get the information, what? Even when they asked. So here's the question. Who controls it? The president obviously should have the clearance for just about anything.
Yes.
But does the president have a need to know? Well, who decides that? So there are people playing catch up, like they feel like they've got egg on their face. So the Senate Intelligence Committee has egg on their face. They're like, what the fuck? Like, we're going to talk to CIA, FBI, every single intelligence agency that you've never heard of, by the way, a lot of them, wow. right? And they're trying to get information in a short amount of time for something that spanned decades and decades. And look, a lot of this is in private industry, and that's a shielding. It's like how super wealthy people have an offshore account that can't be touched by the federal government. The federal government uses private industry to shield it from FOIA, or Freedom of Information Act requests.
Whoa.
So private industry, like Lockheed Martin, has materials from UFOs, hardware, but they are shielded by the FOIA, but that's by design.
Wait, you now, just said Lockheed Martin has a UFO?
So
are Lockheed, you speculating there? Or what?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you specifically. So I didn't say this. Senator Harry Reid has said this, who is the guy that started AUSEP, the UFO government program that we've all heard of,
yes.
right? He identified Lockheed Martin as one of the companies that he has been told for decades has material. I can confirm for you personally that they do. Now, I didn't say a whole spaceship, a whole craft. However, I will caveat this with numerous private industry companies have pieces of technology, hardware. However, we do have full craft. We do. We've been exploiting these technologies for decades, trying to reverse engineer with modern Earth materials. Our limiting factor is the material science. The way the atoms are perfectly atomically layered, which create metamaterials, which are like the sheaths and the skin of the way these things are built, we can't do it. Not today, not 20 years ago, not 40 years ago, maybe in 100 years, 1,000 years. But even if we can replicate the metamaterials where it's perfect atomic layering, where the orientation of differential of the atoms are so perfect that they have unique properties, and to bring it down to Earth for you, imagine this. Graphene is a metamaterial. How they figured it out was they took scotch tape, they put it on like pencil lead, but graphite basically.
Yeah.
And they realized when they lifted it up, it's these perfect hexagonal shaped atomic layers of 100% oriented perfect graphite. Now, I have two pieces of graphene. Like, you come to my house, I'll show you. They're superconductors. They're pieces you can write with them like you could a piece of lead, but they're atomically layered perfectly. Now, I've got one that is a 5-degree orientation, which is from Russia, and then I've got one that's a 1-degree orientation or 3-degree. It's a little bit better, and that's from China. These are used in, like, different types of weapon systems, but they're little pieces of just material. But the difference is, one of them I push into an ice cube and the heat transfers from my finger and it's like a hot knife through butter. But you're just holding a piece of, it's the weirdest feeling in the world. This shows you what material science, why it's important.
Yeah.
So I take this 5-degree orientation differential one and I push it into an ice cube and it stops midway. But if I take the one from China that's at 3-degree or 1-degree orientation, I'm not sure, it goes straight through the ice cube before it gets ice cold and stops penetrating. And the reason is it's a superconductor, transfers the heat from my body into this material. So what I'm saying is this.
So weird.
It is so weird, but this is so important. Materials, the way they're made, they're called metamaterials. They don't exist naturally in the universe, but we create them. The better we get at that, the more we realize these materials have unique properties that don't exist in nature, from electric disbursement to thermal fluxing, where it heats up and expands or contracts. Like, there's just an article last week about how they got a material that doesn't expand with heat now. And that's so important. Like, when you're bringing in a craft, like one of our shuttles, it heats up so much. We have so many damage problems because of the heat. Right. So these metamaterials are the future. Once we can learn to atomically print, we can, in a zero gravity environment, you can have perfectly sphere atomic structures, perfectly oriented. That's the level of technology that we are seeing, that we have possession of in these craft from another technologically advanced civilization, wherever they come from, either from other star systems or if it's like ultra terrestrial, meaning they've been here the whole time and we're just starting to kind of meet them. So,
ultra-terrestrial, whoa.
Yeah, ultra-terrestrial, extraterrestrial, extra-temporal, extra-dimensional, and my favorite, which I kind of came up with because I'm going to be doing something about this, called techno-terrestrials. It's this philosophy of what I think might be happening. But anyway, here's the point.
I'm sorry to stop you on the techno-terrestrials. Do you mean like a byproduct of what's happening with AI? Like they're coming out of the quantum computers or something. They're like and it's like AI has already gotten out of the lab, so to speak, and this is the way it's expressing itself.
I'm going to probably kind of write this into a paper so people understand what I'm saying, but what I see evidence of is a mechanical intelligence that has bypassed the physical form as we know it, although you should be able to print flesh in the future, because we can do it now. We can print organs now. So imagine that these cybernetic organisms are really biological machines that operate off of a hive, hyper-intelligence. We're going really weird here, Duncan, but I feel like we can do that. Okay, so a hyper-intelligence based on an artificial, you could say artificial, but a collective intelligence that is being dictated to this hive mind of cybernetic beings that are then using scout ships and kind of assessing the growth, the technological growth of the human species, you know, in the farthest realms of reality, as if maybe we were embedded here in order to develop technology so we can become a beacon for a much larger global galactic community. We are useful to the interconnectivity technologically of the advancement of our own galaxy, and beyond. Like, that's just a fun theory. I'm going to say this is like me just like tripping out fun. I'm going to define it later, but I call it techno-terrestrial. It's a new term that I came up with to describe what I think might be happening, but I'm not one for speculation right now. I'm just going deep into, let's admit we have hardware. Let's admit UFOs are real. Let's admit that they've been with us since the beginning of recorded human history. Let's admit that they are machines that are technologically advanced. Let's admit that they made them, somebody made them, that there must be factories that produce them, that it comes from an archive of intelligence that we don't have access to, a physics and understanding. And then let's finally try to decide, can we understand where these are coming from? And then can we decide why? Why are they here? And by the way, I asked, so funny, our buddy Joe, like, I was like tripping out to him. I was like, I was just talking with them. I was like, man, I just don't get why so many of these things are here. We can send one probe up and we can map the moon in its complete entirety. Why has there been consistent interaction on a daily basis for hundreds of years, if not thousands? And he just said the smartest thing, and that's why I love talking with him about it. He blows my mind sometimes. Mm-hmm. He goes, maybe it's not hard to get here. Maybe it's fucking easy. I was like, oh yeah, that's the most logical
thing.
That's
so funny. That's so him too.
He just cut right with a samurai sword through the bullshit I was spouting and was like, yeah, maybe it's fucking easy, Jeremy.
You know, look, let me get weird back at you. Because like one thing that I do like to do is read Bible verses, but from the perspective of their like transmissions from aliens. It's so fun to do, and it really does change them.
Is there like a website for this? Where do you find Bible transmissions from aliens?
Is there any Bible? Listen, okay, so think in terms of like what you just said about, you know, which is essentially some version of directed panspermia, I think is what Craig called it. So,
100%. You're right. So, that's it.
But if you look at the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, not as, you know, Jesus talking about like the message of Christianity, but if you look at it as a galactic civilization communicating that, you know, they go out and try to seed planets in the hopes that they'll produce something worthwhile. Listen to this, just from that perspective. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil is shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is like, if you think of that coming from this
directed panspermia.
Yeah. Saying, look, we seed the universe, and most of the time it doesn't work out. But sometimes, not only does it work out, it exponentially increases. It produces things we couldn't even fathom. And it fits into one of the theories of what's going on. And what you were saying is like, you know, this was one of the inspirations for the Midnight Gospel is, why would you want to simulate a universe? Well, you'd want to simulate a universe so it would produce novelty. Artifacts that you could then bring into your world and do whatever you want with them. So it's like, you know, all you could do is do maybes right now, but these things are showing up. And maybe the reason they're showing up is the same reason farmers show up when it's time to start harvesting a crop.
Well, so let's talk about that. It is accurate to say that there has been an increase in frequency of UFO encounters recently, very recently.
Yeah.
Now, there's two ways to look at that. It's like once you learn a new word, you hear it everywhere. Have you ever had that experience?
Yes.
Okay. So are we actually seeing an increase in frequency, which would mean something different than if we're not, right? Now, we have better sensor systems, better reporting is starting to come in. You've got more leaks because people are frustrated. But both military, with their better systems, but this is the kind of defining moment, there's an increase in just civilian encounters and sightings. This is verifiable fact as far as reporting of it. Now, you could then go back and blame it on like COVID and more people are at home and looking up at, I don't know. So it's hard to determine, but it appears to me that there is an increased frequency of UFO encounters. There's like waves, and this has happened in history, like in 1952, so much UFO activity, the national press, there were congressional briefings about UFOs. People don't know that. There were back in the 60s, okay? So we're seeing an increase. Now, is this a wave that we've experienced before? I will tell you this, anybody in the military that deals with sensitive nuclear installations and that sort of thing, if they were able to talk with me, they would tell me that there has been an increase in observation of the nuclear arsenals ever since the advent of the nuclear bomb, meaning that as we develop the tech and as we make it more weaponized, there's been an increase in frequency going all along of observation and intervention. So what we're talking about is machines from unknown origin coming over and shutting down nuclear weapons. This happened in China, Russia, the US, France, and other countries. That's all documented. I can show you evidence for that. People have testified to that. So here's my question. Is, like they suspect, the fact that we have the ability to just completely destroy our planet with a single boom now, is that of interest to people that have an investment, that have been cultivating the human experience? You know, if that's what's going on, I would say, I would care. I would care for sure. Not like little wars or even pandemics, but like Earth be gone kind of thing. I would say that there would be an interest. Now, I'll say one other thing about that, which is that I would find it highly interesting if the military... It's such a big word. If factions of our military were aware of this presence increasing and tried to see if they could, in order to scientifically study UFOs, do something which would then provoke a response of contact.
Yeah.
And if so, that's like baiting UFOs.
Yeah.
So you can study them. I would suspect that if that was done numerous times, that it was successful every time.
Wow.
So if that is true, if my theory, my thought about that I'm trying to convey, if that's true, then we do know that there is interest in this nuclear capability that human beings have. And I suspect that you would protect something that is valuable to you. So maybe the human experience, for good or for bad, I don't know. Maybe it's valuable to these visitors. Maybe they live here and they just don't want us to blow up the planet.
Yeah.
I suspect they're coming from other places just because of the design of their machines, and that we're valuable to them in some way.
And, you know, and also because it's like, you know, you take the two big possibilities. Assuming that this isn't a Project Bluebeam PSYOPs, whatever. Who knows?
It's not.
Just push it off the table. I'm just saying, assume it. So that leaves two, as far as I could think, there's two big possibilities: that we're dealing with state-sponsored military technology that, as they say, is leapfrogged. And, you know, it's similar to when we were developing, you know, when we were beginning to learn how to split the atom. Somebody else or us or whatever. Okay, so push that off the table. So now, assuming that this is another intelligence that is, ultra-terrestrial or extraterrestrial?
Extra-dimensional.
Techno-terrestrial and hyper-dimensional or whatever that is. Then you can kind of start gleaning a little bit about them from what they don't do. You know, what don't they do? They don't stop wars. They don't stop hunger. They don't stop disasters. They don't stop COVID. They're letting the thing run. So clearly either the reason they're doing that is because, well, they don't have the ability to do it. But looking at these fucking craft, it wouldn't be that hard to stop any manner of, like, you know, conflict happening around the planet. They could turn off fucking nuclear missiles. If they could turn off nuclear missiles, they could turn off everything if they wanted to. But so there's a seemingly a hands off, and that implies a kind of morality. Because the other thing is, they're not, as of yet. And again, you know, we are dealing with maybe a different perception of time or a different, you know, definition of domination. But at least from the generally accepted idea of what it looks like to be like conquered or dominated or crushed or suppressed or have your resources drained or whatever. It's the humans are doing that to each other. These things don't seem to be doing that either. So there's a kind of hands-off it seems like there's a rule not to fuck with civilization.
It's called a prime directive in Star Trek, from what I know.
It like seems like the prime directive.
Prime directive, where you non-interference to a degree.
To a degree. Now, the question is that what's happening, or is it more along the lines of like, look, we are here and we're talking to governments, and the first thing we say to them is, you can't say anything about this. It's, if you want the technology, if you want to be accepted into whatever the fuck this thing is, you can't, just like what you're saying, you know, you don't fuck up. If you talk about it, we're gone. We're not, you, we won't, this is not the way we will transmit our technology to your planet. So there is that possibility, which is there aren't really hands off. It's just their hands are on people who are in positions of extreme power. Maybe, you know,
Let's go a step further. The UFO mystery, if the visitors, let's just call them the visitors, because I don't know where they're from.
Yeah.
If the visitors wanted to reveal themselves, they could do so immediately. They would reveal themselves. It's like no problem. If you've ever read like the book Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke, the futurist.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, so he was an incredible futurist and writer and philosopher in my mind. So he wrote a book called Rendezvous with Rama about a cylindrical machine that kind of came to life with an ecosystem as it was coming near Earth. Morgan Freeman actually bought the rights to that.
And cool.
Hasn't made the film yet, but for decades. But he also wrote a book called Childhood's End. So it's about these aliens that like come over Earth, and but they're like sitting there in a craft for generations, just letting people acclimate to, hey, there are ships over major cities there, and they're sitting there for decades, if I remember the book correctly. And it was because the ETs, they had a little problem. The problem was they looked like demons. Like they looked like Satan. They had like tails with pitchforks. And so they're like, huh, how do we get humans okay with us? Like, cause honestly, we look really scary to them.
Yeah.
So they do this like slow kind of approach over generations and decades. So maybe, you know, I'm just thinking for fun here, you know, maybe these things are slowly encouraging the technological advancement, giving us inspiration, interacting with people, with our military, but they're not revealing themselves. And they could do that at any given time. Right. I would argue they are revealing themselves. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're seeing. But some of them are kind of shy. Like a lot of these fighter pilots, there's this whole set of weird things that happen. Like they can't see them with their eyes, but our technology is so good they can see them through the infrared. So they have an ability to cloak. So like, look, they're not landing on the White House lawn, as like people like to say.
Okay? Yeah.
Got it, but they could do it at any time. So the next question is, does our government really know what to disclose? I mean, sure, we have craft that physical hard craft. We have flying saucers in warehouses from other places.
You're positive about that. You know that.
Duncan, like, I would bet my life on it. I do not have the luxury of disbelief. And I know that's annoying, but take it for whatever you value it.
I believe you.
Well, just take it for whatever you value, because ultimately UFOs are not a matter of belief. Like if you erase what I just said, you have enough evidence for yourself to like really understand that there's something really, really high magnitude going on here that has physical hardware.
Yes.
But I will say that because they're not revealing themselves in that way, you know, the question is, well, our government should tell us. Well, what can they tell us? Maybe they don't have a great grasp on this. Maybe there's not some like alien sits down with Eisenhower and they chat it out. You know, maybe that hasn't happened. So what can they admit? They can admit that we are completely powerless to whoever is operating these craft, that they shut down our nukes, that they can evade us, that we can't shoot them down, that we don't know what they're doing, we don't know their capabilities, that they suck up intelligence and data all the time. And what, you know, what do we do? Like, are they going to admit that? You never show weakness if you're going into a fight.
Right.
You have to believe you're number one, or else you're not going to be number one. So I don't know. It's kind of like this place where, until we get people feeling that they can, without retribution, explain, without showing the technological things that should be classified, like certain things in radar data that shows our capabilities to other foreign nations that do want to nuke us. They do want to get rid of us, right? As Americans, whatever. So without doing that, what can we say? And that's what we're seeing now. We are seeing now that although it's just a matter of confirmation, all they're going to do is they're going to remove that this is U.S. black technology. They're going to remove that.
Right.
And if they don't, their hands will be forced. But they already said they're going to remove that. There was a leak to the New York Times. Great. What's next? They're talking about hypersonics with Russia and China. They have some – that's fucking bullshit. These things are non-aerodynamic. They've been around since the beginning of recorded human history. And it's not even hypersonic capability, which distinguishes them. It's also their ability to have low observability, which is like cloaking.
Yeah.
It's their ability of high endurance to sit there for weeks at a time, absolutely unaffected by the outside environment. It's their ability to be transmedium, to penetrate that space between air and sea or space and air. So that was that is a charade. That's a sleight of hand. When they put that into that article, I was like, I see what you're doing. You can't trick me, government. They're trying to make sure they get money because they have an adversarial nation. Oh, maybe it is China and Russia. Right. Then we come to find out they're studying UFOs with AI, that they also have UFO exploitation programs, which I could have told you because George Knapp and I got the documents and we've already released a lot of it to the world. So here's the deal, man. It is not our technology, and I mean human. So what that means is, are these people from another time? Are these people from another planet? Are these people from another dimension? Are these people from, I don't know, man, you choose. I'm just saying, let's stop the bullshit.
Right.
Nobody on the inside, everybody on the inside knows that these are not ours and that these are not any technologically advanced nation that we know of in the history of humankind. This shit has never been shown in the theater of war, which is where you demonstrate your best technology.
Right.
So what are we left with, Duncan? You tell me.
Good point. Good fucking point. Because here's the real truth. If we controlled these things, you better believe we'd be using them. It's not like we'd be like, we're shy. We've been at war for 93% of our history. You think we're not going to like send out our super fucking insane drones? Like, just look what we did. How long did we split the atom? And what was it, like 4 hours later, we dropped it on three cities? It's not like we waited. We just did it. Like, that's a great fucking point, man.
The economics of it. Think about the economics.
So
if we just take a tiny little piece of this and we say, look, we can actually do, you know, we have a technology that creates positive lift without any reactionary propulsion, no fuel as you know it. Like, holy shit, just you leak that little bit into our society, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, we are the top economy in the world. Any nation would do that. The fact they have it tells the story.
Right. Holy shit. You're totally right. Yeah. Because we're so money motivated. And if fucking Lockheed Martin could reverse engineer it, they would do it. They would obviously do it because there's still market pressure. Okay. That's brilliant. Now, let me ask you, we've gone over an hour a little bit, but I did want to ask because
I'm good, man. Okay. I'm good. Whatever you want.
Thank you. Thank you. So do you have any inkling of what we could expect to see in this like government report that's coming out that everyone's so excited about, the hypersonic stuff, but any other inkling of what might be in there? Should we be excited about it? Is it going to be disappointing?
Well, that's depending on what you want. But yeah, I mean, it'll definitely be disappointing to some people and it'll be vindicating to others and it's going to move the ball forward and we're going to have a lot to chew on. This is going to be a decade-long process, Duncan, right? So, I mean, hopefully it moves and accelerates. But yeah, I'm going to just say this. Like, I have been obviously exposed to probably things I shouldn't have been, but I've been exposed to information. My understanding of the report is as is. I mean, this is actually reported on. So over 100 cases, about 120 plus cases spanning 20 years.
Wow.
So, but people aren't asking the right question. I'll tell you the right question in a second. So they're going to remove... rightfully so, that this is any U.S. technology, which is a big admission.
Right.
You do that, you're trying to tell the American public the truth because it would be great to say, oh, this is ours. Don't worry about those. Those are ours, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be the opposite. They're going to remove it. And then hopefully they do their job and they remove that it's other foreign technologically advanced nations. But it behooves them to say that it might be, leave that open, because they could make a lot of money basically for the departments. I get that. So I, as long as they stay true to what I am aware of, it's going to be very powerful in that it's going to remove the important things that we need to start removing so we can face a reality that is bigger.
Right.
With that said, the first question that I would ask, that I'm going to encourage people to ask, cool, where did you get over 100 truly in-depth multi-sensor UFO cases that span 20 years? What archive did you pull from? Because I'll tell you something.
Shit.
There has been an active coordination of compiling this information, multidisciplinary or multi-agency, for decades.
Yeah.
There is a central storing house for this. There's multiple, but there's one I can very specifically, I will identify if they're not coming forward with it. It's a location. It was described to me on the main part of it as a museum of paper. A museum of paper. I'm not going to say anything more about like what else is there, because things are spread out, but they pulled this data from somewhere.
Yeah.
We should be asking where, because what that means is there's been a data pool that scientists have not had access to.
Huh.
If it comes out the way I'm thinking it's going to come out. So look, don't be disappointed with anything in life. If you are unsatisfied, then fight to be satisfied.
Right.
This report is a government report. They can't show classified stuff, and they're definitely not going to open the books on UFOs and just say, everything you needed to know, here it is.
Right.
Not going to happen. But it's going to penetrate. It's going to crack the dam. We already did. The fact that it exists cracks the dam.
Right.
So there you go. So I'm very hopeful that as we dig into what's released, that we're going to be able to receive a lot more information and push to understand what questions to ask, like the one I just told you.
Yeah.
And if they don't do their job, I am confident there are ways to pressure them to do their job through civilian release.
You keep saying that. And maybe this is my cynical understanding of the way some government agencies work, but don't you feel like, I mean, look at Assange. Don't you feel like you're putting yourself in legitimate, like at the very least legal peril by trying to force the hand of whoever the fuck is withholding this data?
Okay, well, I can't be busted for something I didn't do.
Right.
Right. So we're already cool.
Right.
And then you talk about, well, what did Ed Snowden do? The military people I know just really are very pissed at him, right? So the public is very happy because we learned something we didn't know.
Yeah.
But in the process of military, they have no respect. And I'll tell you why. It's because I know he says he was frustrated and he couldn't go through the normal channels. And I'm sure that's true. I'm not for or against. I'm not educated enough. But what he did was he signed an oath and then he went against that oath in a strategic way. Now, is that good or bad? I don't know. But he broke the law. Nothing I'm doing is breaking the law.
Right.
So it's like I can have that moral dilemma or that kind of thing. And I don't have all the answers. It's not like I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt to everybody. Like, I'm not like sitting on an archive that, like, if you came to my house and grabbed it, you'd be satisfied. It's a cumulative thing. And the people that I know and who I know that's going to come forward. And there is footage that I have that's going to shock the world. For sure. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
You come over to my house, I'll show you. Okay. But here's the deal.
Cool.
Yeah, we got to do that. But here's the deal, man. I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm not doing anything to hurt the country.
Right.
I'm trying to work with people to push forward, people that want this stuff pushed forward. So I do not intend on breaking the law or hurting the country. It would behoove, as has been received this way, that agencies would see that more as a positive than a negative. Now, I don't know if this should be part of your podcast. Let me say it and then let's decide.
Okay.
But I have been warned, I have a constitutional lawyer. I have been warned about other nations trying to penetrate my machines and stuff at home and whatnot. Because, but everything's locked down. I mean, my brother's a cybersecurity expert, so whatever. But I've been warned of that. So it's more like, hey, don't get in trouble without knowing you're getting in trouble is kind of like my friends on the inside of different agencies. They don't get in trouble without knowing you're getting in trouble.
Right.
As a civilian, they're like, as long as it doesn't say classified on the visual thing you're seeing, they're like, then you can receive anything as a journalist. It's up to the people that obtain it. That's their duty.
Right.
That's their job not to get in trouble. So to answer your question, there's a big way to answer your question. Look, I'm not paranoid. I'm prepared. I've done nothing illegal. I'm not going to do anything illegal.
Right.
But I'm going to apply pressure, but I'm going to do it the right way because I haven't signed a contract that says I can't do it.
Right.
It's not like somebody says, here's all the UFO info, but you can't talk about it. And then I talk about it. I've never signed anything. I've been asked. I've never signed anything. And the reason is because I want to be free. And so as long as I do my job right with integrity, I vet the sources, I don't put myself in a compromising position, what's the worst that's going to happen? You can come knock on my door. We'll talk about it. It's no problem. I'm not an adversarial force.
Right.
I'm representing the interest of myself and other people. That's it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And we love you, man. Are you kidding? Like, seriously, like this work that you're doing, and God bless you for giving me this much time, man, because I just know, like, I can't imagine how swamped you are, especially today. They're getting the, top secret briefing today. That means the report's probably coming soon, right?
Oh, are they today? Do you know?
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah, it says, let me look it up just to make sure I'm not fucking that up. But
they might be being given the heads up for the report today. That would be big news. I've shut off my phone. Like, Duncan, talking with you, man, it's a reprieve from the pressure that I feel from the universe right now. I mean, people are actually, let me tell you, something has changed. People would write me, die, you fucking bearded, forename piece of shit, die. That's the first thing I wake up to. I couldn't handle it. I don't know. And I got doxxed, and my phone number was doxxed. My address was doxxed. They put it on, on these YouTube things. Like, I was just like, holy fuck, it's not the government. It's people. What's going on? And so I just have detached. I'm at the point where I've just completely changed everything. Talking with you is like a reprieve from it all because things have changed. Things have changed. I'll tell you, praise and blame is all the same. Like, now I get more love letters. Like, people are like, okay, thank you. I really doubted you, but I see, they don't know me, but they're like, I think you're probably doing a good thing. Look, that's nice. The only opinion that matters to me are people that actually know me. If they tell me I'm on track or off track, if they don't know me, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Love or hate, it doesn't matter. But it gets grinding, so it's really nice. Like, the phone, goes off a billion. You told me how you survived one of your tours. Like, it's like, how do you? It's not going to slow down. So what do I have to do? I have to make sure that I fill my life with people that I love talking with. That people are they don't want something. They want to exchange information.
Yeah.
They want to, they're curious. And that is so powerful because ultimately we can care about UFOs. We can care about the universe. All that fucking matters is the interactions that you have in your life. And does that build your spirit? Are you learning? Are you growing?
Yeah.
Are you becoming a better human along the way? And at the end of the day, can you say, I did it right and I did it my way? And if you can say that, then you fucking won, man. Level up, next simulation. You did it right. So that's my only fucking goal is everything else can fall away. But if there's love in my life, if there's passion, if there's curiosity, if there's friendship, if there's real interaction, then you know what? Then that's – I fucking won. And that's what I'm – that's all I care about. So anyway,
Jeremy, you won. You were on Tucker Carlson talking about UFOs. You won.
Well, I've said no more times than I said. I did it one time, but, a lot of people, a minority, they don't like that he has other views. And I respect that. He's always been nice about UFOs. But, like, I just, like, I'm nobody's puppet. I won't go on a show too many times. That was a cool one, but there were tons after, right? I have to look at the whole scope of the UFO thing. Nobody owns it.
Yeah, when you were telling me about Tucker, and you were like, I got a sense of like, oh my God, all your liberal friends, me included, you're worried because they're like, what the fuck? He's what are they? But it's like when you have this kind of information, I don't think it's time to like pick and choose. I think you just get it through all the conduits that you can, because every time you get it through, you open up the possibility that somebody else is going to send you that email, that someone else is going to get you that data.
It's just sensitive in that, like, any media personality I go on with, if it's political, some people agree, some people don't, but UFOs does not need to be politicized.
Exactly.
Ever. It's so much bigger than a country or a defined line or even human opinion. This is bigger. So I try to contribute to every show, and I'm sensitive about what we just said, in that I don't want to single somebody out as like bad or good. If you're contributing to the UFO topic in my book, we're cool. We can talk about UFOs then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, look, yeah, I think I'm like, I can think of a trillion ways. I have two things in common with Tucker Carlson, actually. One, we both love the Grateful Dead. And number two, we both love UFOs. In between, just were the antithesis of each other. But fuck, I mean, look, it's like, you gotta love that somebody like that still is like putting this kind of data out there. Not just him, though. Everyone is now, and
right,
like, and
that's the thing. We should just mention that, right? It's like, it doesn't. So this is really important. Maybe this is important. I was like, really, I don't like talking about other people when they're not here. But like, maybe this is important, which is that, like, despite our differences, let's say it that way.
Yeah.
Despite our differences, what really bonds us to this topic? And I think about what Ronald Reagan said, and he said, you know, what would bond humanity together more than an alien threat? He said that at the UN. And it's sad that it has to be a threat that would bond. How about just the fact that we're part of a living, cosmic, intelligent universe with people all over star systems, and they can learn how to visit here? How about that? How about that bonds us? But I think the big takeaway here, because, you know, I don't like talking about people when they're not here, but check this out. Maybe the whole lesson here is, despite our differences of opinion, we are human beings navigating, a spiritual experience, and we have these physical bodies to do it, that allow us to do it, and that the thing that really bonds us together is that we're in such a larger reality than we thought a week ago.
Yes.
Maybe that's it.
Yes. Yeah, man. Like, all the problematic whoever. And if you're at this point, if you're tweeting, you're problematic to somebody, guaranteed. There's no, like, we live in a very politicized environment right now. And I think your aspiration and intention there, I hear it, man, is beautiful. It's like, we gotta find a way that we're gonna like connect as a planet. Because otherwise, we're talking infinite war. And you know what? It's like, if you and me and a few other people were stuck in a house together and we didn't even know if there were other neighbors, our personality differences are going to become increasingly profound, you know? And I think the social impact of the internet is it's produced this a claustrophobic, compressed feeling, like, we're trapped on a planet with this guy and that guy, and God help people are trapped on a planet with me. My voice makes some people literally want to like rip their ears off of their heads. They're not shy about telling me that. You know what I mean? It's like that. But the moment that, you know, even if it's just a knowledge that we're part of a massive network of life, and hopefully the possibility of actually even getting off world during our lifetimes, then all that stuff that was so intense, I think it'll start melting away on its own. You know, like, individual human beings are going to seem so much less important when you're, you know, an Alpha Centauri on some kind of incredible outpost for an advanced civilization that's like giving you a chance to hang out with them and maybe watch a black hole or something like that. You know what I mean? You're not
take extreme umbrage with something, and I want to be, you know, because we're friends, I'll be honest with you. I take extreme umbrage with the idea that somebody dislikes your absolute Tibetan monastery singing voice. What the fuck is wrong with their fucking ear holes, man?
It's annoying. Okay,
so, you have a very unique range within
Thank
your
you.
Voice, and it's very distinctive, and not many people can say that. So fuck them, suck a dick.
Suck
Duncan Trussell has got the best voice. Now, going on from there, I also want to say, I am a peaceful person.
Yes.
I believe that a lot of violence comes from pain. Now, you could call me a hippie or something like that, but I am able to come from that position because I can defend myself.
Yes.
Right? So I just want to say something here that it's maybe a little controversial, but it's very true to me, and just so I get it out, which is that, you know, look, man, as a former reforming martial athlete, in that I love fighting, right?
Yeah.
I will say what I learned from that is that everything is like kind and good and everything's cool, but you got to be able to draw a line in the sand
right.
on everything. And you have to be able to defend that line. And usually that's not even physical skill. That is your mental ability to break out of the conformity of social norm and say, wait, what's going on right now is not okay.
Right.
So I think we have to apply that boldness to the study of the UFO topic where, no, you may not ridicule this anymore. I'm not standing for it. You are uneducated, Neil deGrasse Tyson. You don't even understand what FLIR is.
Right.
Forward-looking infrared. You don't understand what pixelation means,
right.
what grain means. So I'm like, we have to call people out, and I am not afraid to do that, in that if they're talking bullshit and they should be better educated, it's time. So my point is this. When it comes to the UFO topic, you must be able to fight to break the social stigma and norm, or we're going to be stuck in it. So even though it's peace and love and everything comes from maybe like they're damaged, and so like we have to have leeway with people. Not anymore. Where we're at with this is very simple. If you are going to obfuscate the truth, if you are going to be an absolute spineless piece of shit and not stand up for the will of the American public, and you're not going to stand up for what you know to be true and right, I am not personally having it anymore. I'm not having it, and neither should you. So I just want to throw that in, just a little bit of intensity, that we should hold accountable people for lies.
Yes.
And I hope that's okay, because that's how I really feel.
Yeah, man. No, I agree. Look, I agree. Like, at this point, if you're negging people because they're expressing a connection or a belief, or they've had their own experience with UFOs, it's gaslighting now. Now you're just like, now you're just going completely against what's actually happening. And look, whether that's what's beautiful about the, you know, the ideal of science. It's like, you follow the truth. I can't remember who said this. You follow the truth into the fucking abyss. If it takes you into the abyss, you go into the abyss with the truth. You have to have the gut. You have to have the humility to admit that you were wrong.
The humility. Investigate the unexplained. Don't explain the uninvestigated. You know, that's our duty as journalists and scientists and podcasters and human beings. And I just sent you something via text before this, and it was somebody you know. I don't know him. I think you and Joe know him, Sam Harris, but he's like a deep thinker or something.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, I don't know him. But his last sentence in that, somebody sent that to me, was like, we might have to apologize
to everybody. Cool.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Because here's the deal, man. What is happening? I don't know, but I know it's bigger than me. I know it's bigger than you. I know it's bigger than us. I know it's bigger. It's bigger, man. And so, like, what do we want to do? Do we want to hide from this and be fearful? Look, maybe they're not. Maybe there's multiple types of alien species coming down, prepping the battlefield for some hostile takeover of the containers where they're going to reap our souls and sell them in other commodities around the universe. I don't know. Could be true. I hope not. I hope not. But, you know, I would like to think that that kind of intent would annihilate itself because of the nature of that combative intent prior to being able to visit another planet, right?
Yes.
So if that's what we're seeing, then I feel like there must be some sort of evolutionary curve where you're able to get over those little tiny squabbles of just warfare to the point where you are now directed panspermia trying to populate an intelligence, an interconnected techno-terrestrial universe. I would like to believe that. I don't know, but I'm fucking going with that.
Jeremy, God bless you. Thank you so much. This has been one of the highlights of the last couple of years. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you. Thank you. Now, real quick, how can people find you? Is there anything you want to talk about or plug or anything?
You know, I don't usually have anything to plug. It's just that, like, I'm too easy to find. You could find me, like,
yeah.
You know, you go to any of my social media. My name's Jeremy Corbell. It's really easy. You know, what I would say is this. My communications are unmanageable. I just ask that in order for me to manage them better, that, you know, people try to send me like an audio voicemail, like, you know, through the iPhone, and they put it into an email. Like, that's really cool because I can just sit there and kind of listen to it. I want to hear everybody's stories. I don't always reply, but I try to listen to everything. I stayed up till 5 a.m. last night just so I could hear what everybody's saying. I just want to know what people are saying. So my website is extraordinarybeliefs.com, but really my social media, just, you know, at Jeremy Corbell, the Instagram is the way. I tend to get emails and see those over time. Twitter, I tend to see those messages. Instagram, it's every second. I can't probably
right.
anybody that – how do you yes. do it? I don't know how to do it.
You
so,
can't.
Yeah, so just email me off my website. Twitter is okay too. I can kind of see that when it's a private message. I just go through them. But I'm really curious. I want to hear from people what they think is going on. If they have footage like other people have brought to me, of course, I'll handle it with care. I can be trusted that way. But really, man, I just want people to talk about this more. I want you guys to talk about it. I want you to bring other people, even if they're contrary to my beliefs or philosophies, like just get as many people talking about it as possible, because I think that this is going to be an issue for us for the next 10 years that's going to be really important.
God bless you. Hare Krishna, Jeremy. Thank you.
Okay, brother.
A huge thank you to my cosmic brother, Jeremy Corbell, for coming on the DTFH. And much thanks to our beloved sponsors, Candid, Feels, My Sheets Rock. If you need any of these things, please order them. Use the offer code. It is how you can support this podcast. But even if you don't, that's fine with me. I love you just for listening. I love you. Thank you for giving me a life where my job is talking to people like Jeremy Corbell. I'm very grateful to you for that. Next week, we have a wonderful episode with Robert Ryan. I hope I'll see you then. Until then, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And look up. You never know what you might see. I love you. Goodbye.